you to just read this. I know there's a lengthy reading here, but it talks about, kind of sets the stage for our message tonight. His father tried to discourage his musical interests, preferring that he enter the legal profession. But it was the organ, harpsichord, and violin that captured the heart of young George Friedrich Handel. Once accompanying his father to the court of Duke Johann Adolf, George wandered into the chapel, found the organ, and started improvising. The startled Duke exclaimed, "Who is this remarkable child?" This remarkable child soon began composing operas, first in Italy, then in London. By his 20s, he was the talk of England and the best-paid composer on earth. He opened his Royal Academy of Music. Londoners fought for the seats at his every performance, and his fame soared around the world. And isn't this just like what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, "Vanity, vanity, all is vanity." But the glory passed. Audiences dwindled. His music became outdated, and he was thought of as an old fogey. Newer artists eclipsed the aging composer. One project after another failed, and Handel, now bankrupt, grew depressed. The stress brought on a case of palsy that crippled some of his fingers. "Handel's great days are over," wrote Frederick the Great. "His inspiration is exhausted." Yet his troubles also matured him, softening his sharp tongue. His temper mellowed, and his music became more heartfelt. One morning, Handel received by post a manuscript from Charles Jennens. It was a word-for-word collection of various biblical texts about Christ. The opening words from Isaiah 40 moved Handel, comfort ye, my people." On August 22, 1741, he shut the door of his London home and started composing music for the words. 23 days later, the world had Messiah. "Whether I was in the body or out of the body when I wrote it, I know not," Handel later said, trying to describe the experience. Messiah opened in London to enormous crowds on March 23rd, 1743. With Handel leading from his harpsichord, King George, who was present that night, surprised everyone by leaping to his feet during the Hallelujah chorus. No one knows why. Some believe the king, being hard of hearing, thought it the national anthem. No matter, from that day, audiences everywhere have stood in reverence during the stirring words, "Hallelujah, for he shall reign forever and ever." Handel's fame was rekindled, and even after he lost his eyesight, he continued playing the organ for performances of his oratorios until his death in London, April 14th, 1759. That's from Robert Morgan's book, Then Sings My Soul, a great collection of hymn stories. On page 2 of your outline, have you ever heard a symphony tune and warm up? I have. Carrie and I have been to several symphonies over the years, and one time we went down to the DSO in Detroit, and it was incredible. You know, they hit, I guess I could go over here and find a note here, see if I could find it, amen. You think the choir director would be able to find a note, amen? They'll hit C. And the next thing you know, you'll hear all the violins, all the violas, all the cellos, all the trumpets, all hitting that same note. It's beautiful. It really is. It's one of the few things you can do that they're just warming up, and there's an incredible melodious, harmonious beauty to it. Second line there. This is what we have before us in Revelation 18:20, between 1824 and 19:1. What we do here in Revelation 18 is, of course, you remember, and we'll talk about it in just a little bit. We have that final destruction of Babylon. And then for the first time in several chapters, we leave the earthly scene and move to a heavenly scene. There's a parenthesis here from Revelation 19:1 through verse 10, and then we find, of course, the Lord coming back in chapter 19, verse 11. But we see this parenthesis here, and it says there in verse 1, "And after these things..." What are the these things there? Well, it's the destruction of Babylon. "And I heard a great voice of much people in heaven." In heaven. On your outline again, we have the greatest musical aggregation that has ever been assembled. With every musical instrument that was created for the worship of God, with one single solitary purpose: the praise of God Almighty. I'll tell you what. Never a symphony has heard. And I've heard Handel's Messiah in a symphony before. It's beautiful. Just gorgeous. And literally everybody does stand on that last. But boy, I want to tell you what. It's going to be nothing compared to this in Revelation chapter 19, verse 1. In our text, Revelation 19, 1 through 6, we find the word alleluia. Alleluia. Four times. It is translated from the Greek word alleluia. It is found, it is only found in Revelation chapter 19. If you look at verse number 1, you find it there. Maybe you want to mark your Bible. If you mark your Bible, it says there, "And I heard, after these things, I heard the voice of much people in heaven saying, alleluia." Then if you jump down to verse number 3, "And again they said, alleluia." Verse number 4, "And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, amen, alleluia." And then verse number 6, it says, "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and the voice of many waters, and the voice of mighty thundering, saying, alleluia." These are the only four times in your King James Bible that you will find the word alleluia. It means praise ye the Lord. By the way, you find that companion in your Old Testament several times. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. The Hebrew word, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Here we have the fourfold alleluia chorus. Fourfold alleluia chorus. There are four things that this throng of heaven praises God for and says alleluia to Him. The first thing, number one, that they praise Him for, that they break into this alleluia chorus, is for redemption. Redemption. Look again at verse number 1. "After these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God." The alleluia chorus begins by praising the Lord for salvation. The alleluia chorus begins by praising the Lord for salvation. This is a song that no angel can sing, but rather only those who know what it is to be bought back from the power and penalty of sin. That's what it means to be redeemed, ladies and gentlemen. You see, God owns us by creation. Amen? The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. Everything belongs to God by creation. But through sin and the fall, Satan became our master. Oh, but praise God, God didn't just leave it there. He said, "I love mankind, and I'll buy her back. I'll pay the price that nobody else could pay to buy her back." Hallelujah. Amen. We got the song there. You know that song. Redeemed. How I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child in forever I am. In just a few short verses, and after a very short quote-unquote battle, Jesus will finish our redemption, which, and we put in parentheses, was, is here, which was planned before time began. Number one, our redemption was planned before time began. Hold your place there in Revelation. We'll come back. Go back just a few pages to Revelation 13:8. Revelation chapter number 13, verse number 8. And here we see an awesome verse. In the midst of the darkness, and it certainly is a dark verse, it talks about those who worship the beast and those who are received his mark. But look what it says there in verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Before there was a world, Christ was already slain in the mind of God. Boggles the mind, doesn't it, folks? Some things that what I call will put us in a theological mouse wheel, where you just keep going, and that's one of them. To think that God, before the ages ever began, knew that Jesus was going to die. It was planned before time began. It commenced in Bethlehem. It commenced, number two, in Bethlehem. Go over to Luke chapter number one. Luke chapter number one. Of course, obviously, be reading this text over this season. I'm sure you will too. Luke chapter number one. And look, if you would, at verse number, we'll look at verse number 30. Let's look at verse 31. We'll read down a little bit here. And says, of course, we know here the angel, Gabriel, is speaking to Mary, and he says, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall these things be, seeing I know not a man?" And can we say this, ladies and gentlemen? A just question. Amen? "The angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." And so it was in Bethlehem. Amen. Our redemption was planned before time began. It commenced in Bethlehem. Number three, it was executed at Calvary. It was executed at Calvary. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, please. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. The best definition in your Bible of what is the gospel. What is the gospel? That's that power unto God of salvation. What is it? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, beginning in verse number 2, tells us, or verse number 3 rather, tells us what the gospel is. And we find this here, that it was executed at Calvary. "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." Where did that happen, ladies and gentlemen? Calvary. Calvary. And then, of course, the rest of the gospel goes on, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So our redemption, that this first phase of the Alleluia Chorus, it was planned before time began. It commenced at Bethlehem. It is executed at Calvary, and praise God for this. It was guaranteed by the empty tomb. Our redemption is guaranteed by the empty tomb. Go with me to Romans chapter number 4. What tremendous verses these are. And can I tell you this? This is one of the great blessings of being a pastor. You get to sit and study the Word of God and look at these verses and let them move and speak to your heart. Verse number 24 of Romans chapter number 4 says, "But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on Him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification." Last line on page 2. Oh, how we that are redeemed would join in this chorus every day. Hey, you know what? You don't have to wait till you get to heaven to say hallelujah for redemption. Can do that every day of our life. We can start out the day and we may not be able to sing like the Chicago Symphony that we heard, and we may not be able to compose like George Friedrich Handel, but I'll tell you what we can do. We can say, "Hallelujah, praise ye the Lord for redeeming my wretched soul." They started the hallelujah chorus. Number one, redemption. Number two, retribution. Retribution. Sounds a bit strange to sing hallelujah for retribution. But look at verses 2 and 3, and then we'll go over to a cross-reference there in Psalms. It says, "For true and righteous are His judgments. For He hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of His servants at her hand. And again they said, hallelujah. And the smoke And her smoke rose up forever and ever." Go with me. Hold your place there. Go with me to Psalms chapter number 104. Psalms 104. I believe, if I'm correct, in the hallelujahs of the Old Testament, which would be where it says, "Praise ye the Lord, praise the Lord." I believe, and if you correct me on this, please do it privately. Amen. I believe this is the only reference to a retributive hallelujah. Look what it says at the end. Verse number 35 of Psalm 104. "Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul. Praise ye the Lord," which of course we know is the Hebrew word hallelujah. On your outline, the second phase of the hallelujah chorus continues by praising the Lord for His judgments upon sin and sinners. The second phase of the hallelujah chorus continues by praising the Lord for His judgments upon sin and sinners. He has justly and righteously judged both Mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots. Of course, we know that that's the apostate church, Revelation 17. And Babylon the Great, the capital of the commercial and political empire of the Antichrist, Revelation 18, and all their inhabitants. Why all their inhabitants, Pastor? Because they worshipped the beast in His image, received the mark in their foreheads and in their hands. They sold themselves to Satan, and God has righteously judged them. For ages, they have shed the blood of God's people with relative impunity. You say, "Pastor, what's that word mean, impunity?" Without any fear of judgment or retribution. Anybody that could slay a servant of God does it with impunity. They don't think that God sees. You read that in Psalms chapter 14 about the fool, the wicked man. He thinks that God seeth not. But I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro, and He's keeping perfect records. You know, I know he's keeping perfect records because here they say, "Alleluia, for true and righteous are thy judgments." For ages they have shed the blood of God's people with relative impunity. But then God has avenged the saints completely. And we just simply list the reference there. And again they said, "Alleluia." And her smoke rose up forever and ever. Can we say this, ladies and gentlemen? Hell is just as eternal as heaven. Her smoke rose up forever and ever. Think about that during this Christmas season. Oh, I don't want to bring you down, but listen, be in the invitation business. Amen. People need the Lord. Number three, not only retribution, not only redemption, but realization. Number three, verses 4 and 5 of back to Revelation chapter 19. "And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, 'Amen, Alleluia.' And a voice came out of the throne saying, 'Praise our God, all ye His servants, and ye that fear Him, both small and great.'" The third phase of the Alleluia chorus continues by praising the Lord for His greatness. That's what it is to worship the Lord. Oh, there's so many facets of worship, but our God is the greatest of the great of the great. Amen. He's a great God. Lehman Strauss, from whose book I have gleaned much material during this study of Revelation, says, "Blessed is that Christian who gets quiet each day to read God's Word and pray in order that he might contemplate the Lord's greatness." To contemplate the greatness and grace of God is to awaken gratitude and praise in every believer. Hallelujah. Lastly, the fourth part of the Alleluia chorus, we have redemption. We have retribution. We have realization. And lastly, in verse 6, we have reign. R-E-I-G-N. Reign. Look what it says in verse number 6. "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and the voice of many waters, and the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia. For the Lord God omnipotent," that's all powerful, "reigneth." The final phase of the Alleluia chorus continues by praising the Lord for His reign. The Lord taught His disciples to pray, and you know the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come." Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. And now this prayer is about to be answered. I can't imagine, folks, let me just stop from the hour. I just can't imagine what it's going to be like. We're going to be there. We're here, amen. We're in heaven at this time. We're with the Lord. We're absent from the body and we're present with the Lord. The rapture's happened and we've been judged for our works at the judgment seat of Christ. And now we're waiting, praise God. Next week we'll talk about the marriage supper of the Lamb. And I don't know if they're going to have prime rib hanging off the tree of life. I don't know anything about that, but I know it's going to be good. Amen. But here we are. We're ready. The Lord is about to return and reveal Himself. And I just think of the anticipation. I think if you want a human illustration, could you go back to Christmas time when you were a kid? And your parents said to you when you were 5 or 6, "You need to go to bed." And it was like 6 o'clock on Christmas Eve. and they said, "There's not going to be a present under that tree tomorrow if you don't go to bed." And you went to bed. And you tried to go to bed and you went like this, you went. And you started counting the dots on the ceiling. And you counted them all and you started over again. And then you counted sheep. And by the time you got to a gajillion, you couldn't count any higher. You couldn't get to sleep for anything. Why? Anticipation. You were just so excited about what was going to take place, and then finally you drifted off to sleep. Listen, I believe that that anticipation that we remember on those Christmas days is just a pale in comparison here. They're getting ready. I'm telling you, they're getting ready to mount up on the horses, Brother Horse, amen, and getting ready to come and to reign. Here they are. They're looking forward to His reign. Lord taught His disciples to pray, Thy kingdom come, and now this prayer is about to be answered. Again, after the very brief battle of Armageddon, and I'm going to tell you, it's brief. It's brief. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords commences with His long-awaited reign. And to that, ladies and gentlemen, I say, hallelujah. Revelation 11:15 says, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. Praise His dear name. Could we sing a song of praise in closing tonight? Amen. How about praise Him, ladies? Amen. If we could find that one, praise Him, praise Him. That is number, let's see.